That's all right.
I start off with a public roll call. Ms. Harris.
Here.
Ms. Glassberg.
Here.
Mr. Jones.
Here.
Mr. Foster.
Here.
Mr. Malone.
Here.
Ms. Kuhn.
Present.
And Ms. Dalton.
Here.
And Mr. Michaels here. And for the time being, Mr. Valentine is not, but he might come still. I trust everybody had a chance to review the minutes. Are there any suggested modifications? No? And we'll let the minutes stand as presented. Thank you. Public comment. Who wants to go first?
I'll be happy to go first. So I just wanted to pass around the report for this month from the Leadership Council. One of the big items on this one is Aviation Bill, House Bill 3902, which passed the House unanimously, and then went over to the Senate and all but passed it with one vote. This bill is extremely important to Westar Aviation and over 500 jobs at the airport at the Falco. In 2009, I worked on this legislation originally. When you buy an aircraft, you pay taxes on the entirety of the aircraft. And then when you bring that very expensive piece of equipment in, this exemption allows you not to have to pay taxes again on the aircraft you just pay taxes on. Very similar to Caterpillar, very similar to John Deere types of equipment. About years ago, unbeknownst to all of these companies and never notified by the state of Illinois, there was someone in the legislature who passed a law that said if you don't have a sunshine date on your bill, it's going to sunshine 5 years after the original date of the bill. Well, these companies were never notified. Now that has been caught by the state of Illinois, they're like, hey, all of you owe $50 million in penalties and back taxes. And so it's a huge, huge challenge for these companies. We all went up and testified, myself, Jim Rankin from Westar Aviation, and Senator Rochelle Crowe, who led it in the Senate, to talk to the Senate Revenue Hearing Committee. And matter of fact, one of the senators, Mr. Overweis, had the intent of coming in and voting against this. When he heard all of the people and all of the employees that testified from Westar out of the Bethalto, he's like, whoa, wait a minute, these are manufacturing jobs. I didn't really realize that. And so he went and caucused his group in the Senate, and it received every vote except for one. And so right now, the governor has vetoed this legislation, and Monica Bristow and Rochelle Crowe, along with all the other senators, hope to override that in January. So why is it so important to override it? Because there are 38 other states that have this legislation. Those aircraft companies can fly their plane to any of them. Another part of that is the hangars at these regional airports, like the one at Bethalto, those are all leasehold agreements. Those planes can go anywhere. Those aviation companies can go anywhere. And so it's really up to those aviation companies where you go and get your plane done for repair work. So I just wanted to bring this aviation to your attention. It's a huge, huge industry and a heck of a lot of people. So the average job at Westar Aviation is about $47,000 to start, and they go up to $60,000, $80,000 for MRO workers. And I know Tony's worked with them quite a bit, and so it's a big, big deal for Madison County. Would you agree, Tony?
I would agree, and I would tell you, in our conversations with Westar, I know they have another facility in Chattanooga, and I think one further out west, I think Colorado. So, yeah, I mean, if this doesn't get overridden, it's going to be real easy for them to move those operations and those jobs to other states.
And it's going to be devastating for the regional airports. If you ask Dave Miller, you know, he doesn't want to be sitting there with all these empty hangars. So that's a big deal. So we're working on calling all the legislators, building coalitions to override the governor's veto. And so hopefully that'll all take care of itself. The other part that we're going to fight for is that they shouldn't have to pay taxes when they were never notified they had to collect them. That's a huge, huge issue. Just Westar Aviation would be required to pay over $8 million in taxes and penalties for that period of time. They were never notified they had to collect those taxes, and so something that we have to really work on. The other part of that, you see all of the road projects that are underway. In this meeting last time, you talked about I-255. We just had a presentation about that, and so I'll just share that presentation with you. The person, the project director on the presentation, is actually listed in the back. And so if you have specific concerns, when they presented at our board of directors meetings, we had a lot of businesses that were very upset about this project. Laura Rensing is a project designer for the 255 closure. And so if you have businesses that are concerned, definitely talk to Laura specifically. And you can see the alternative routes, and one of them takes you through Missouri, and I can't imagine how that's going to... Did you see that, Tony? I mean, that is a really long way. I mean, one of their routes is all the way over here through Missouri. Yeah, that's way out of the way. So for a lot of our companies, this is a significant, I would say, challenge to trying to get, you know, products in and out of Gateway Lakeview Commerce Center and so on. But that's where we are at this moment in time. So I wanted to bring this to your attention because it was one of the follow-up action items from the previous meeting. We've also recently been working with a couple presentations on cannabis and the challenges for the employers related to legislation that's come down. Starts January 1st in the new industry. And so I have presentations on that too if you ever want to take those with you. I'll leave them behind. And so that's something to you know, consider too as you're moving down the pipeline. The other big follow-up action item that I'd like to tell you about is from the Japanese trip 3 days ago. Actually, 4 days ago at this moment in time, we were notified by the Consul General of Japan that they like this area so much that they are allowing us the opportunity to go to Japan, all expense paid, for a 7-day trip to learn about Japanese negotiation, trade practices, networking with Japanese companies, and we have several companies that want to come back in the spring. So not only the trip there, but many other activities that you'll be seeing in the near future. So we're really excited about that. We put in our applications, and then the Japanese are very strategic on who they pick to go. They're paying for the trip, so I guess they can do that. Yeah. But for them to pay for it, I mean, that was kind of beyond what we thought. We knew they were going to invite us, but we didn't think they would pay for the whole thing. I mean, you know, I can't imagine what it costs to go to Japan for 7 days, airfare, hotel, ground transportation, and all of that. So we'll have a lot to report to you related to all of those things in the near future, but just, you know, really out there trying to promote everything we can to bring industry and business here and fight for the businesses we have, such as aviation. So, you know, please do contact your legislators and tell them about this important legislation and try to carry it forward. We need to fight for the jobs at Westar Aviation. So thank you for your time.
One question, maybe I'm missing something here, but is Westar Aviation, where is it located?
It's at the Balto's Airport.
Oh, is that the...
Yeah, Dave Miller's Airport. Yep. And there's over 500 employees that work there. They're looking to hire. They've been hiring pretty steadily, but, you know.
So that's, like, separate from the airline, or is that part of it?
So what Westar does is called MRO, Modification and Repair over all of aircraft. And so when you buy an aircraft, you want to bring that in for maintenance work, looking at the engine, all of those things. Mm-hmm. So people from all over the world, because of this legislation, fly them in here to Illinois. Mm-hmm. And this legislation put us on an equal footing. At the time, it was passed with 22 states, mm-hmm. but now 38 other states have that. And so if this is not overridden, they can just fly their aircraft anywhere else and get it done. And then we lose all those jobs and the companies mm-hmm. along with it. It's devastating for our regional airport, so it's something we're going to fight hard to get done. And, you know, there'll be more to report to you as we move ahead. But I just wanted to bring it to your attention since it impacts so many jobs in Madison County. Mm-hmm. But anyway, thank you so much for your attention, and, you know, happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thanks for coming. Appreciate it.
Governor vetoed it for optics.
What?
The governor vetoed us for optics. He's a billionaire, and all these planes are owned by super rich people. Mm-hmm. So it's a tax break for the super rich.
Mm-hmm. Good afternoon. Kelly Orban, St. Louis Regional Chamber. I brought a couple of handouts. Today I wanted to focus on what Alliance STL has done this year and what their plans are for 2020. That's the economic development arm of the chamber. Jim provided this list of all of the 2019 business outreaches. And in December, right now, they are at an Area Development Consultants Forum in Houston, Texas. And then tomorrow, they're actually having a site selection consultant field visit here in St. Louis. Looking forward to 2020, Jim wanted me to let you know that the schedule looks very similar to what we have here. So expect the same sorts of outreaches, and at least as many outreaches, and we welcome Madison County's participation in these site visits and outreaches. The other handout is our public policy priorities for the upcoming year. You'll see it's broken down. Overarching everything for all levels is economic development, workforce, and transportation and infrastructure. Those are our main priorities. And then in Illinois specifically, we want to focus on fiscal stability. Obviously, we have budget issues, so we support getting the state back on track financially. Then supporting Scott Air Force Base, since it's the region's largest employer, Metro East's largest employer. Expanding workforce, working with Tony and others for apprenticeships, occupational licensing, vendor job training, universal certification. And then also on economic development, making sure the businesses have the right workforce to fit their businesses. We have a new person in public policy, and I'm hoping to bring her next time so she can introduce herself. And we also have a new person in our entrepreneurship department. His name is Matt Minietti. He's got lots of experience in the entrepreneurship world, and he's looking for any connections with entrepreneurs on this side of the river. So if you have anybody that I can connect with him, that would be fantastic. So if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer, but we are busy doing
part. Is there any specific discipline he's looking
for? Anything. He used to work for Global Hack. So he's got tons of connections, mostly on the Missouri side, but he's looking to expand and outreach here. So yeah, I'd be happy to make those connections if you know people that are interested. Yeah.
I don't want to open a can of worms, but I'm going to.
Uh-oh.
I saw conversations on the television show Donnybrook, and I also heard conversations on KMOX, and I forgot the gentleman's name who brought it up. He suggested that in the St. Louis area there are too many development organizations, there are too many regional whatever, and I don't know, are you part of that conversation?
We were mentioned in that article. I'm trying to think who it was that brought it up, but there was an article that just came out in the Business Journal a couple of days ago with Rodney Krim. He's with St. Louis Economic Development Partnership, and he really lays out how the SLEDP, his group, works with the county, and how the SLDC, the St. Louis Development Corporation, works with the city, and how we work overall. So we each have these different niches that we can, we have our connections that we can exploit and work within, but one group can't necessarily fill all of those needs. So can I send an email to you?
You obviously disagree with his premise.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But I had to use Donnybrook as my reference, but that panel was basically divided, that some of them said, yes, there's way too many regional development going on that we,
And we work with the Business Council, and we work with Civic Progress, and we work with all these different organizations. We work with Leadership Council of Southwestern Illinois, and they each have their own specific area, and then we're sort of like the overarching group that helps bring and convene people together. So Alliance STL just launched in February of this year, and they are really getting boots on the ground, getting things running, and things are going well, and you will begin to see more things happen. But it takes a while, and we're even adding to that staff to be able to compete for the St. Louis region on a nationwide level. So I could send a link to the article and maybe forward that around.
Trudy and she.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll get that over to you.
Okay, thank you.
I appreciate the question. Anybody else?
So the site selection visit tomorrow also includes this side of the river. The individual will be in America Central Port, and then myself and Walt Williams from Evansville will be meeting with them tomorrow afternoon. Walt's talking about Gateway and Lakeview, and Jim Alexander asked me to talk about some of the workforce programs we're doing in southwestern Illinois. So.
Great. Fantastic. Any other public comment? Thank you, Kelly.
The opportunity.
Yeah, got it. Awesome. So moving on to new business. We have the bills and purchase request report. Anybody have any questions or comments on those? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to approve the bills and purchase request report. Moved by Ms. Dalton, second by Mr. Foster. Ms. Harris?
Yes.
Ms. Glasper?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Aye.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Malone?
Aye.
Ms. Kuhn?
Yes.
And Ms. Dalton?
Yes.
Passes unanimously. Fantastic. Now we have our public meeting, and this is for the Consolidated Annual Performance Report to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development regarding CDBG and home expenditures in fiscal year 2018. Back sheet. I have the bills right here.
Oh, that would be me. Thank you. So we are on December 20th preparing to submit our consolidated annual, we call it the CAPER to HUD, just for short, it's just a lot easier. And this essentially gives you a snapshot of what we spent CDBG and home funds on during fiscal year 2018. I really like this second page because it really gives a breakdown of some of the bigger projects that we did. We really upped our home rehabilitation game. We were in single digits last year, and now we are over 92 together with all the different programs we've got, including our ramps. We've done various infrastructure projects, helped a ton of home buyers, helped pay for and procure fire trucks, and we've also served several youth throughout Madison County, as well as a lot of demos. If you go down to the chart, all those numbers, the 1.1 through 2.8, I believe, 2.7, are those numbers pushed into a goal. So all of those, we have a five-year goal, or we have a one-year goal, which is our CAPER. And then those, let me re-explain that. We have a five-year goals, which we come with our five-year consolidated plan. And then we have our action plan, which is actually funding the actual project under those five-year goals. So it's kind of fun times. We are in, this one's the fourth year of our five-year plan. I don't know, we're all shifted. Fourth year. Yeah. Fifth year's 19, we just started 19. So all the fiscal years are colliding right now. We're ending 18, started 19, and we're getting ready to put out applications for 20. So, yeah, I have to stop and think where I'm at. It is. It's fun. It makes paperwork confusing around December a little bit. So, when you're looking at this bottom chart, the strategic plan is our five-year plan. So all those totals, those totals there have to do with our five-year plan, and then the annual plan is our FY 2018 numbers. So those all then fit under our five-year goal. So we are really on track for meeting or exceeding almost all of them. There are a couple of caveats, which would be the commercial facade program with Alton. They haven't had any people taking it up, so I mean there's just no reason for it. No one's just needed to do a commercial facade.
Last big project you did was up in North Alton by Joe Kay's and all that kind of stuff, wasn't it?
Duke's Bakery did it. On across from Johnson's Corner. Joey B's. Nikki G's? Yeah, Nikki G's did one. And just up from them, there was a detail place that got new garage.
PJ's.
Doors. Yeah. So.
Should we get a hold of Simmons Law Group? And they've purchased a bunch of downtown home.
Well, they're probably going through the peer review, so they would be going through the city of Alton. So it's out there.
I don't know what John Simmons is too worried about.
Or then there's that. Then there's a couple other places that are zeros, affordable housing and those, but we just haven't closed on some of those projects yet. But all in all, we're doing well. And I would like to invite you guys to ask any questions you might have about the wonderful numbers that I'm putting forward. It can be a little hard to read on the chart. That's why I gave you page 2, because it's a really good breakdown. So. Any questions?
And this is the public comment period, right?
This is the public comment period.
So it ends, like, what, next week or so?
It ends next Thursday, the 19th.
Any questions?
So if you guys are shy, you guys can go ahead and call me or email me your comments. Yeah, I usually at least have one. All right. Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for letting me talk.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, so we don't have to do anything, right? We don't have to approve it or accept it. Okay.
Nope.
Fantastic. And our next item is a resolution authorizing the U.S. Census Participation Agreement, which, if I'm not mistaken, it's kind of like we're going to accept $100,000 to help with the... Okay. Fantastic.
We are. Right now, we're in our very infancy stages. We are planning to work, or hoping to work, with libraries since they have internet connections all up and running. Hopefully, our LIHEAP intake places, schools, social service organizations, county agencies. I'm sure the list will be growing, but they want us to educate people on why it's important to fill out the census. So we have that period between now, or when they give us money, until March 12th when they mail out the survey, the census. And then they also want us to go out and engage the public with, like, at libraries or at job fairs or something like that. And then we would be having devices where they could get online and complete their applications right then and there. But then we've also had a couple of agencies out in the public approach us as well that want to help get people signed up and signing and using the census. This is going to be an online push this year, a big online push.
Many years ago, they used to hire people. They don't do that anymore to go door to door.
That will not be us. That'll be someone else. But yes, they will.
You know, everybody looking for a job for about a year. It starts at $19 an hour plus mileage for a census taker, and then there's management levels above that. Yeah, they've been recruiting in our office big time for the last 6 months.
Really?
Bruce, perfect timing with your retirement.
Yeah.
There you go. Perfect timing.
I got to have management, though.
Are you holding out for a management position? So it's kind of fluid still. Very fluid still.
But so this is from the Illinois Association of Community Action Agencies, but it is part of the state?
It's DHS is giving money to them. And yes, it is part of the state.
So will you be hosting, like, different workshops at different places?
I'm kind of hoping to double up on workshops that are already going on out there. But if we do need to, like, open houses or such, possibly, like, at township offices or spend a day or a couple of hours during heavy times at LIHEAP offices, depending on how long they want us to go, maybe the early voting sites would be a good option too. I mean, there's just a lot of things to think about.
Well, Lisa, have you had any conversation with anyone from the Madison NAACP about the census? Have you had any conversation at all with anyone?
No, because I'm waiting to get stuff finalized, and then you already said, hey, the Madison NAACP wants
to
help.
They did.
Yeah, okay. So they're on my... They're on my list, for sure.
Okay.
So with the money, we don't hire anybody, really, with the money? We don't raise more?
We could hire a temporary person, yep. Okay. Temporary person, then utilize staff we have, and then hoping that different various county offices, employment and training, might help us out. but that kind of thing. We do have the opportunity to, if we notice someone doesn't have any great equipment, we can purchase a computer for them that they could then have after this is open or after this is over for them to really get into helping us and helping us well. So.
Any questions at all?
Do you still have the meeting on Thursday?
I do have the meeting on Thursday, yep.
And does that seem like it's going to be well attended? Or?
It's looking kind of, yeah. Yeah, it's not as much of excitement as it was before. And I made sure to have it after deer season. We did have a big turnout last year, but we didn't have a lot of RSVPers this time. So I'm hoping that, you know, they're just kind of...
You might be pleasantly surprised.
Lazy.
Last minute.
I know. It's not working out for me.
So the deadline, though, is over, right, for the application? So
No.
Okay.
So for the Thursday meeting is this the information so they can start filling out the application. The application for CDBG will not be due until April.
Okay.
And towards the end of April. But they need there's various steps they have to do, resolutions to pass. Communities have to hold their own public meetings. They might be working with me already to do an income survey. So it's just not a, hey, we're going to turn this in next week kind of application.
Okay.
They might have to work with an architect or an engineer to do ADA self-evaluation and transition plan to make sure everything they're doing is ADA approved and whatnot.
So it might be a good year to put some in.
Yes. Yes, it might be. Can we sign them?
What's that?
Resolution.
Yes, we need this. So one more question. In 2010, is this something similar? Did we get what kind of money we got?
I don't think we had this opportunity in 2010.
Okay.
I think this is over and above the door-to-door people because they were finding that certain populations, and it's interesting to me what our big ring of not answerers are. It's kind of from Hartford to Woodriver along the River Bend area, and I didn't think it would be there. But that's where it is.
Aren't they calling them the whole to count people?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. But this is in addition to the door-to-door, and I don't believe this was available in 2010.
Gotcha. Great. So I would entertain a motion to accept or to approve the resolution authorizing the U.S. Census participating agreement.
Moved. Second.
Moved by Ms. Harris, second by Ms. Kuhn. Ms. Harris.
Yes.
Ms. Glasper.
Yes.
Mr. Jones.
Yes.
Mr. Foster.
Yes.
Mr. Malone.
Aye.
Ms. Kuhn.
Yes.
And Ms. Dalton.
Yes.
Passes unanimously. Thank you. I believe that's it for the new business. Is there then our employment and training update? And I think Tony passed out a sheet.
I did.
To look at.
Yep. Just a couple things. Unemployment rate for state of Madison County in October was 3.6, unchanged from September. Second sheet in the package you have are individuals enrolled in training for the fall semester at the various schools. For Madison County, we had 101 individuals enrolled in training. The Bond and Jersey Calhoun are much less. So it gives you a breakdown of where they are. What they can't give you is what classes and training they're doing. So some ongoing projects. The 9-county region, we submitted our grant application for the next round of apprenticeship expansion funding. We're requesting $700,000 for three different projects. They had to split up the grant applications in three this year. One is the Navigator, who we hired last grant, who's basically the salesman for apprenticeship programs in the area. The second one is short-term projects that we're about to launch, and the third is more longer-term projects that would become apprentices. So we will see how that goes. We should be notified in early February of our grant amount. Second grant application that we are submitting to DCO at the state level is for service integration. That's a big push currently in at the state level for the different partners and the one staff to work together and have integrated services where if somebody walks in, you have an integrated application form that you can refer people to the right agency for the right services. So we're requesting $100,000 over 2 years to create a service integration navigator position, someone who's familiar with all the different agencies and what their services are to route people to the right entity. So that would be covered 100% by the grant for 2 years, and then moving forward, if we continued with that position, it would become part of the shared cost for all the partners in the one staff. Rhonda was talking about Westar Aviation. We were notified last week that the Department of Labor had approved their apprenticeship program for the aviation mechanics. So another reason that hopefully this bill will get overridden. They're very interested and anxious to start apprenticeship programs. The news. Also in the packet is a picture of a young lady at the Capitol. Her name is Celeste Linares. She's a participant in our program. She is one of the apprentices at the National Corn to Ethanol Research Center. She had the opportunity to speak during National Apprenticeship Week at the state capitol. See the governor, the lieutenant governor, the director of the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity are the three individuals behind her. I will tell you, she did a fantastic job talking about what this program has done and the opportunities that it is presenting to her. So, then a couple future projects. Tomorrow morning, if anybody's interested in being at my office at 7 a.m., we have the Collinsville Triad CEO group coming back again. We're going to view the soft skills video we did, stop it at the various sections, and discuss why those things are important. This is sort of, there are guinea pigs, the first time we've done this, so we'll see how that goes. And then we just recently confirmed that we will be having a regional apprenticeship meeting January 23rd at Gateway Center in Collinsville. First regional apprenticeship meeting in the state. Our goal is to get all of the individuals who are working on apprenticeships in the same room to try to coordinate our efforts better to make us more effective and efficient.
I'm sorry. This with this ethanol, is this not the department by SIU? Have you met Barb Randall out there, my little sister's office manager out there? So who is this young girl?
Her name is Celeste Linares. She is a mother of five, single mother of five, who came in our office to receive training and became interested in the process operations program at Lewis and Clark, and as part of that, she became one of the apprentices at the National Corn and Ethanol Research Center. So she's about 6 months into the program, both with classes and also the on-the-job training part.
Any other questions, Tony? No? Trudy?
Okay.
Give that community development update.
Yes, and so Nadine, they supposed to tell me that this is an updated version of this schedule. So, you know, I think the only change was that she had Tuesday on there, Tuesday, November 9th, and Monday, November 9th. But she wanted to make sure you all saw that appropriately. I gave you my report in writing as well. Lisa already talked about her workshop on Thursday, 10 o'clock in County Board Room. You can still come. Welcome. Encouraged at 10. We're closing this Friday, if all goes well with HUD, on the Granite City YMCA project that's been in the works for quite some time. They had hoped to actually start construction on that back in March, but there's just been some hiccups with HUD, so supposed to hopefully close on Friday. Brush fingers, say your prayers, because that's really a big project for downtown Granite, and everybody's excited about it. The PEP applications went out last week. This year we reduced the per capita to $4. There's a committee, you know, that does that. Mm-hmm. Tom McCray and Jamie Goggin are part of that committee, and it's just a funding thing that they adjust the funding occasionally. So it's been $5, but this year it'll be $4. so we should get those applications in. I think they're due March 4th, so a little bit of time. We've hired a new planner for our homeless program, so we're very excited about that. Andrew started back in October as our coordinator. He's doing very well. Just about the time he started, our planner left to take a job in Chicago, so we've still been man down, and so Jenny Pruitt will start the day after Christmas, so we're excited to get her going. We're just really going through the homeless program, just taking it all apart and looking at it and trying to figure out how we want to rebuild it going forward, which is, you know, something it's a lot easier to do with new people coming in to do that than trying to get, you know, people who have been doing it a long time to change their ways. So it's kind of an exciting time for our homeless program. We will not, however, be doing the point in time count in January. We've done that annually. HUD only requires us to do it every other year. So this year, just because we have so much new staff, we've decided to take this January off, you know, get our footing, and then we'll start again in 2021 and plan to do it annually again once we get through them. Just thankfully, this was a year HUD said we didn't have to do it, so we were like, whew, okay, that's good. Lots of conversations about homelessness throughout the county with Alton, Granite City Council, Edwardsville, both the faith communities and the business communities, and so that's kind of exciting that they're all looking at that and looking for compassionate but effective solutions. And involved in a lot of that. And then I also met with a group at SIU who's looking at submitting a grant for, I believe it's $4 million grant. They would do some research on something, and so homeless was kind of a topic we honed in on for that, and so they're looking at doing some predictive analysis, possibly.
With a point in time, does that have to be done in January?
Yeah, the HUD decides the day. So last year when we did it, it was the day of the polar vortex, so when it was
right,
20 below. So our numbers were lower last year, but we... because it was so cold, they kind of predicted.
So I was just thinking it'd be easier to maybe locate people if it was like July instead of
I don't know why they
chose January.
January. Dave Boyce said he sort of suspected it was because it made the numbers look better because you couldn't find as many people.
Yeah, it's always the last week in July or January.
I know.
January. I feel the same way though.
You think you know you could. I don't know, more people hanging out, more people want to do it too,
yep.
I'm sure,
right.
To walk out.
Yeah, and choose the date for us, so. Yeah.
Any questions? Awesome. That's it for new business, then. Any old business? No. Hearing none, our next meeting is January 6th, so not the 13th. That's Martin Luther King Jr. Day, so it is January 6th. We'll talk about it. I don't know. Yeah. There's 2 days that are listed on our calendar that are holidays that once we get closer, we'll figure it out that we're going to do. But it's not until like September, so we'll figure it out what to do best. Hearing none, entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mrs. Toon, second by Mr. Jones. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Good. I don't see you.